Two things really important okay, right now is I mentioned earlier about the Faith Life app. Being on that will help everybody stay together. Okay? I said before that I believe that all that God wants to do will come through two things. That's our outdoor service where we're using it as evangelism also, where we are publicly worshiping unashamedly, and our private lives of being in prayer, seeking the face of God. And I believe a lot of things will come out of the outflow of this morning prayer. I will save you a lot of time and just say that I've longed to be able to do something like this for a long time in instructing new converts, okay? So what I want to explain to you is whether you're a new convert or not, what I'm about to do is very beneficial to you. But you need to be on the Faith Life app. I want to remind you, I'm going to do a lot of stuff through that. It's the community social networking. There's a main page for the church. I sent it to you, Harvey. So you can download that, subscription or whatever. You log in and you're able to follow things that are going on in the church. I'll drop sermons in there. You'll be able to put prayer requests in there. But then we have sub pages like a new believers page. And this is real important because I'll be challenging new believers. It'll be a place where any new believers can ask questions. Okay, and we're going to, a lot of what we're going to do, we're going to go through this book, this New Believer's Bible, okay, so that we can all track together. Follow me? And I want to say this, that whether you're a new believer or not, like I gave Harvey, he followed Christ years back, and he's recently come back to him. So, you can say, well, am I a new believer or not? It doesn't matter. The truth is, I try to find new believers material wherever I can. I've had a secret fetish about this because I'm afraid to miss something. I love things that help discipline or explain things in simple ways. Memorizing scripture, I absolutely love it. So I'm actually looking forward to going through some of this stuff with you guys every time. Okay? Is that clear so far? So if you were on there now, on the New Believers page of the Faith Life Group, you'd see I already wrote some things. Hey, I want to challenge you why you guys matter so much. You'd put a scripture there to memorize the readings that were coming up so that you'd know. So here's what I want you to be able to do. This book is yours. I'm going to give more of those out if you're hungry for it. But if you turn to page 1248 in the back there, what you're going to find is the month of July, and it is a Bible reading program. And it's really not a lot of reading. You can surely read beyond that, okay? And so I want you to learn to start reading your Bible every day. Following through this program will take you completely through the New Testament once a year. But if we're reading it together, you're able to ask questions throughout the day. You know, what about this? What about that? And so we're all tracking. We know where each other are. And so I don't even know if that's a correct sentence, but we know where we are so we can keep pace together. Okay. So you guys find that page? Harvey, did you find that one? Page 1248, it's toward the back. This is 1 year New Testament reading plan. And it, right where I'm at, it's like where July begins. Today's July 2nd. Okay, so I just want you to simply, this is not rocket science, okay? I just simply want you to learn to build the habit of everyday reading scripture and put a little check mark when you read it, okay? We're not starting in January, we're starting in July. So as you go through, check, 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 flip it all the way around, keep reading. When you get back to July next year, put a second check next to it. I'm talking about building the habit every day of praying. So another thing I'm going to do is I'm going to challenge you to memorize scripture once a week, okay? And then another thing, there's articles in there, there's things for questions. I mean, there's all kinds of material about Satan, the Trinity, angels, what are angels about? You know, how do I come to God? A lot of articles. And then within each book of the Bible, there's some important information, too, to help you understand what's going on or to apply it to your life. Okay? So those are things we can try together. But I really want to be able to speak to all of you at once. So if you can get on that Faith Life app, it'll be very helpful. Having said that, I don't want to take a lot of time. Let's just go to these. Let's go to July 1, which was yesterday. Okay? July 1, yesterday's reading. It says Luke 13:31. Now this is, forgot to mention, this is in the NLT, which I am very fond of, especially for new converts. One of the things you'll like is
in the Old Testament, when it, even in the New Testament, there are certain spots where it says, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, was the son of so-and-so, and it goes on, and it's like, completes this thing. This one, it's really easy. It goes, hey, here's a list of their children, brr, you know. So it's like, that part's really easy to understand. So it takes out the these and thous, but you'll be able to get, it's easy to understand without totally being washed over and watered down, okay? So this will be really good for you. You don't have to memorize out of this, but it may be a good place to start. So today's, or yesterday's reading was Luke 13, 31 through 35, and Philippians 1, 12 through 8. So let's go to Luke 13. And I just, and maybe that's what I'll do is I'll read or give you something from the day before you read so you can think about it for a day before we talk about it. Here's what happens here. You guys there? Luke 13. Who else would like one of these Bibles? Okay. I got one for myself. I was excited about this. So.
I didn't want to do that one.
Yeah, I'm going to buy some more then. Okay. Beginning of verse 31, it says this. At that time, the Pharisees said to him, I need my glasses. No, that's not what he said, but I do need my glasses. I'll try to do it without. At that time, some Pharisees said to him, get away from here if you want to live. Herod Antipas wants to kill you. Jesus replied, go tell that fox, I will keep on casting out demons and healing people today and tomorrow and the third day. I will accomplish my purpose. Yes, today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must proceed on my way, for it wouldn't do for a prophet of God to be killed except in Jerusalem. Okay, so that's the first half of that. And let me just make a commentary on that. Here is why, when I started reading the Bible years ago, not this particular text, but as a new convert, I said, man, I really like this guy Jesus. That's kind of how I thought to myself. Herod is one of the kings of an area, and basically he did kill, one of the Herods killed his cousin John the Baptist. Jesus is saying, you know what? You go tell that fox. He calls him out on being a snake or being a trickster, you know. Well, you know, he says, look, you tell him I'm going to do what I'm called to do. You're not going to stop it. And he basically says, I'm going to keep on doing it because I'm called to do it. And then he basically is unbeknownst to people at the time, is saying, look, I'm going to go ahead and go all the way to Jerusalem and die there. It's not good for a prophet not to die outside of Jerusalem. I might as well die in a spot where I am known for doing what I'm called to do. That is courage. Jesus walked in human flesh and he manifested that kind of courage. He wasn't going off some magical powers. He was going off his desire to serve and serve God and walk the way he was supposed to walk. He overcame the way he expects us to overcome. Okay? He didn't use his personhood, his being God in that moment to overcome something. He used the conviction of God, of the calling on his life. Does that make sense? Man, it's powerful still. Okay, but here's an incredible spot here. It begins in verse 34. He's over the city. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. Historically, Jerusalem and basically Israel had been sent messengers from God known as prophets. They would speak on his behalf, right? And they would kill them. If they didn't like what they had to say, they had a history of either killing them or refusing to hear them. They hardened their hearts. And so he's talking about how they hardened their hearts when God was trying to speak to them. You with me? Here's what he says next. Now remember, Jesus is at Jerusalem looking at it. This is his weeping. He's Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Okay, watch this. How often I would have gathered together your children as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings. So I've heard a story of a fire that happened one time where they found a chicken and they picked it up and beneath it were the little chicklets, the chicks, the baby birds, you know, that even though the chicken was roasted, it was roasted chicken that day, you know, it was underneath the wing. She had sat down and under a wing protected her chicks from the fire as the fire moved through quickly. So Jesus is saying this is something that does happen in the animal kingdom. He says, I would have been like that kind of, been like that chicken. You know, I would have protected you.
Okay? What? So you hear, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you harden your heart to those who God sent to you. I would have been like a mother hen taking you and protected you. But then he says this, but you wouldn't let me. Here is a picture of God having a will to do good things for people. But when they harden their hearts to him, they are harmed. They think they're harming God. I know better than you. Okay? There's a lot here. It speaks to us as individuals, but there's a lot even throughout all society. Here's what he says next. And now look, your house is abandoned. You will never see me again until you say blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. He was telling people in Jerusalem that, you know what? After I die here, you're not going to see me again until I come back in the second coming. But what you should know is, Jesus is saying, look, you don't even know the things that have come to you. Basically, he says it another place. In 70 AD, roughly about 40 years after Jesus made this statement, there was Roman armies that were coming because Israelites tried to rebel against Rome. They were waiting for their Messiah, didn't recognize Jesus as the Messiah, so they tried to rise up on their own and rebel against Rome. And they ended up being in this city that was up on a hill, Masada, I think it's called, something like that. And so, and Rome surrounded them, began to starve them out. They were dying of starvation, so they began to kill each other, fall on swords, kill the wives and children because they were afraid that they would be raped and so on by Rome. And so, a terrible tragedy. Jesus says, I was trying to prevent that. This has more implications than you can possibly imagine. It's really, really deep. But in simplicity, God is saying, look, I want to do good things for you. If you just trust me and listen to me, like I said the prophet, just listen to me. Let me help you. You know what the sad part of that is? Is there are many people that don't. Right? Okay, so let's go to another spot. The other spot, I'll just briefly mention that. This is a personal favorite of mine too. In Philippians chapter 1, it says to go through verse 12 through 18a. Okay, did you notice that in the back of there? 18a. Does anybody know what that A stands for?
First part of the verse.
Right, so what you're essentially looking at is people, when they wanted to emphasize just reading a certain portion of a verse, it's saying stop, so an A would be the first section to the first punctuation, either a period or a comma. Okay, so did you catch that? So like you're reading verse 18, you stop at the first punctuation, either a period or a comma, etc. Okay, it's just telling you that. I just want you to have that. It's not real important, but so that you know in the future. Okay, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 says this. Now, let me ask you this. Is there anybody that in the future feels comfortable reading when we read these? Would you volunteer? Yeah, would you be willing to read too, Joe? Okay. I already know Art can. Okay, and I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news for everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. Now I'm stopping there. Paul has been arrested for preaching the gospel. He is, this would have been common, he's got a Roman guard on one side chained to him and on the other. That's how they did this. And essentially, Paul has written the book exemplifying what it means not to be a complainer in tough times. He literally talks about joy here more than any other book. He's chained. Here's a guy who was in jail before, and when he was with Silas in prison, they chose to sing songs about God. And an earthquake happened, and I mean, it's like God's showing, look, I love it when you guys don't complain, when you just trust me and love me even through your hard times. Paul, probably thinking back to that moment, is now chained. And eventually he's going to be have his head cut off way down the road in the future. But he's choosing to preach to the guards. Like this. Hey, you know I'm here? Let me tell you why. There's this guy Jesus. You know what I mean? And he begins to tell them in depth. And so no doubt he's converting the guards. Okay? He's choosing. He's like, hey, I got a captive audience, man. They can't get away from me. They think that I'm chained. They realize they're chained to me. I get to tell them something. They can't get away from it, right? His whole attitude is beautiful. And it teaches us something about having the right attitude in every moment and choosing not only to worship God and enjoy God, but actually still be a part of his mission. And so he's actually preaching this. But watch what happens next. This is fascinating. This speaks to me volumes. It says, it's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry. You know what he's saying? That while he's in prison, there are others that were trying to outdo him. While Paul's in prison now, I can preach greater than him. In other words, they think that they can make Paul look bad by doing more than he does. It's kind of like a picture of churches competing against each other. It's really strange. It's in other words, it's sad but true that that does happen. So we can see that Christians sometimes act like little babies, right? And Paul's acknowledging that, but watch his attitude again. This is a beautiful book about attitude. Okay, he says, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know that I've been appointed to defend the good news. Those others, the ones who are acting like babies and being competitive, etc., do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerity, intending to make my chains more painful to me. Here's his attitude. Ready? But that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached. He's like, even if they do it to make me feel bad, they're still preaching Christ so people can still come to him. He's finding a way to be excited. He's like, go ahead, man. It's just such a tremendous attitude he has there. Okay. Oh, I got ahead. No, I didn't. But either way, so I rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice. You see the attitude he has there? You see how in any moment he's refusing to be a grumbler, a complainer, like he praised in prison in one spot. Now he's preaching in prison, and even though some people want to hurt him, he's not focusing on them hurting him. He's focusing on how he can win others. That is powerfully overcoming attitude, okay? And so there's a couple of big thoughts here. You know, one, we look at Jesus and see how people can harden their hearts to him and how he wants to do good things. And then we see people who already have hard hearts, and Paul keeps preaching to soften their hearts, you know? And he's choosing to keep his heart where it can be encouraged instead of just whining and complaining in a bad situation. Okay? Both of those are pretty convicting thoughts, even for a preacher like me. Okay? But see, the Bible contains stuff like this. It's really, really good stuff. So, I'll take some quick questions. We'll pray and get out of here. But I do want to say that I want to pray for Stacy. She's having some anxiety problems. And I was going to actually show her this morning if she came out of Philippians how to deal with that. So instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show Joe so he can go home and teach his mom. Isn't that cool? So he'll show his mom, say, look, this is what Pastor saw. This is how you can help deal with anxiety and fear and so on. So that'll be really cool. Okay. So any questions? I mentioned Stacy because I don't want to forget her in prayer. Any questions? Okay. Then let's pray for Stacy. Let's pray. And again, look forward to going deeper. Read each one of these. So read that July 2nd reading today sometime. And then we'll discuss more and more. Keep reading even on the weekends, etc. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness towards us. We want to be led by you. And I pray that each one of us would be led by you together. That picture of being yoked together. We are yoking ourselves with you. Lord, we want to be yoked under you, but we want to be yoked together. We want to help our new converts. We want to grow deeper too as we see them grow. Father, we ask to that end, you would have your way within us. You would make us disciples. You would make us to be great followers of Christ with great testimonies. Lord, we specifically ask this morning that you would bless Stacy, that you would lift her head, you would give her encouragement, that you would teach her how to overcome these fears, these anxieties, to walk in the peace that Christ provides for us. Lord, we give you our day. We ask that we would manifest that spirit that Paul had, that attitude he had of great joy in the midst of every circumstance, to find something in you to rejoice in. We pray that indeed our hearts never become hard to you, Lord, for we have come to you because we have recognized that you have loved us. Or as your word says, we love you because you first loved us. Lord, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You reached out to us first. So we don't want to harden our hearts to you. We want to do your will, walk in your word. We thank you for stirring us, instructing us, and I pray a blessing on each man here that he would walk in the courage to follow Christ and that he would find joy in you everywhere he goes. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Stayed out there.
No, she left to go get her hairplugs check or something. Oh. She has to pay the bills today.
Hey, I was going to mention you two guys. So what I did in this morning, so I have these in my car. I said, take as many as you want so you can pass them out. But if you want to like put one in the reading list, one of them in the different spots of Bible you're reading, whatever, you can do that too, okay?
Nice.
But what happens too is like you run into somebody and they want to ask about your Jesus. Hey, man, go to church. We're talking about Jesus. I got a bunch of these, so you guys can take as many as you want. I use them as bookmarks wherever I'm at. I'm on.
I used to do that at first. I said, I have a bunch of them.
It doesn't bother me if you guys use them as bookmarks. That's perfectly fine. You guys sent me look like a clown with my collar up.
What's that book? That book on standard.